Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. Travis Ryer back with you on a Wednesday, October the 2nd, 2024. The Alabama Crimson Tide trying to put the Georgia Bulldogs in their rearview mirror, as up next is a trip to Nashville to take on the Commodores of Vanderbilt on the west end of Nashville coming up Saturday afternoon. That is a 3:15 p.m. Central kickoff for Alabama and Vanderbilt. We wanted to get into some of the offensive side of the ball for the Crimson Tide because we do have four games. We have a sample size that you feel pretty comfortable with in terms of maybe making some comps for this offense relative to some previous units that we've seen in Tuscaloosa. Also some narratives that are out there involving particular positions like the running back spot. And what we do know through four games is that this offense has been very much quarterback-centric, and in some ways, we're going to make some comparisons to 2016, true freshman season for Jalen Hurts, but we're also going to throw in some 2018 to 2020 in terms of what we're seeing statistically anyway in the passing game. And regardless, it's hard to argue with the numbers that Nick Sheridan and his guys are putting up to this point on that side of the football, both statistically and also in terms of wins, more importantly, in terms of wins. And where the running back situation is concerned, Nick was asked about that earlier in the week, and his answer basically referred to the need to take advantage of opportunities when they present themselves. And when I think about that in terms of last Saturday night's thriller with the Georgia Bulldogs, situational football definitely comes to mind pretty quickly. In other words, Jam Miller was ready when he had his number called on that touchdown reception there in the first quarter. Both he and Justice Haynes also had huge opportunities on big conversion plays that came up short as well. So with Miller getting stuffed on a fourth and one in the first half and Haynes coming up just a little bit short on a third down of the sticks on a reception there in the fourth quarter, there were big, big moments for both those players against the Georgia Bulldogs. Now, between them, Haynes and Miller combined for just 15 touches on 65 offensive snaps in the win over Georgia. I would argue, though, they impacted the game far more than those numbers might suggest. And then you look at Jalen just statistically, attempts 33 passes in the game against Georgia, runs it 16 times for 117 yards, two more touchdowns, pretty much to the point where it's two rushing touchdowns a game for Jalen Milroe at this point. And so from that perspective, it kind of brings to mind the 2016 and 2017 offenses with Jalen Hurts at quarterback, except Milroe's start to this 2024 season far exceeds either of those previous two offenses that Hurts commanded. Well, that, and he has a wide receiver in Ryan Williams who is averaging a staggering 29 yards per catch. And again, I could argue that it all still starts with the running backs because that is the first option. Believe it or not, whereas statistically it may not look that way right now, in terms of honoring this offense from a defensive perspective, if you don't deal with these two running backs in the interior of this offensive line, it's never going to get to Milroe running the football or perhaps Ryan Williams having more man coverage than you would think he would have after the damage he has inflicted on four opponents to date. So when I think about Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard, maybe in comparison to some of those previous offenses I mentioned, I think Calvin Ridley or Darius Stewart. And by the way, none of this from a passing game perspective is to knock what Jalen Hurts accomplished back in 2016. I mean, we're talking about a guy that was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year as an 18-year-old. And you look at Jalen Milroe, he's a fourth-year guy. He's in his second season as a starter. So in those terms, you think about Jalen Hurts more along the lines of his lone season at Oklahoma. Essentially, that was the same point in his career as Jalen Milroe is now. And I've been asked about the impact of Kalen DeBoer and Nick Sheridan on Jalen Milroe. It almost feels like Jalen Hurts, except Jalen had to kind of go team up with Lincoln Riley. And instead of that being the case, Kalen DeBoer and Nick Sheridan came in to team up with Jalen Milroe. Kind of some parallels to think about anyway, but by that point of his career in 2019, Jalen Hurts had developed into a 70% completion passer who was averaging 11.3 yards per attempt for the Sooners. So there was definitely growth for Jalen Hurts. And we'll pull up some numbers coming up here in just a little bit to kind of show you what we've seen from Jalen Milroe to this point. There they are. We got them up there. Magic, right? Magical. This is more on the rushing side, but I'm going to show you the passing side to start with. And the numbers through four games, Jalen has attempted 85 passes. Now we know there's been several more dropbacks than that. And when we talk about Jalen in terms of rushing attempts, you got to keep that in mind because there's plays that, you know, he is extended with his legs. Sacks go into his rushing attempts. That's a college thing, not so much with the NFL, but look at those numbers. 62 of 85. He's completing 73% of his passes. And I know you can say, well, yeah, but look at those first three teams. Well, he completed 82% of his passes last Saturday night against that Georgia defense on 33 attempts. It's not like he threw it 13, 14 times and completed 10 or 11. He put that thing in the air 33 times and completed 27 of those. So you like the completion percentage for Jalen. You like the touchdown to interception ratio through four games to this point. And what you also like, and this kind of goes back to 2018 through 2020, although Alabama was undeniably more prolific in terms of pass attempts with those teams. But you like that Jalen Milroe with Ryan Williams doing damage on the outside is averaging 11.3 yards per pass attempt. And again, I could draw that back to the running back presence and, you know, where they sort of serve as the foundational level for everything that this offense comes off of. But Jalen, very impressive throwing the football. Then we go to rushing. That takes us kind of back to 2016, 2017. Because when you look at these rushing attempts right now, Jalen leading the way with 52. Jam has 34 carries, Justice with 25. That reminds you a good bit of Jalen Hurts, Damian Harris, Bo Scarborough. 2016, Josh Jacobs is a freshman, began to emerge over the second half of that season. What you really like about these rushing numbers for Justice Haynes and Jam Miller, and this goes back to capitalizing on opportunities, both are averaging 8 yards per carry. They have a combined 5 rushing touchdowns. You know, Alabama through four games has 16 rushing touchdowns already. I think the 2016 team, I'd have to look it up. I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to see how many rushing touchdowns 2016 had because it was a lot. Well, it was 33 in 15 games. So think about that. This rushing offense is already halfway to that 2016 offense's rushing touchdown total of 33. Now, 2017 kicked it up even higher to 36 rushing touchdowns in one fewer game. So some things to keep in mind when you talk about the rushing offense for Alabama through four games and thinking about some of those all-time rushing offenses that Alabama had under Nick Saban. So as we continue to look through this from a statistical perspective, you know, again, I think the offensive lines you could look at for some of those past teams, 2016 specifically, had Cam Robinson at a tackle. You had a true freshman in Jonah Williams at right tackle. It was kind of a switch when thinking about 2016 and 2024 because tackles were more of a strength in 2016. That interior OL back then wasn't as much of a strength, certainly going into the season. Bradley Bozeman jumping in there at center went a long way in kind of stabilizing things and helping in that regard. But there's no questions about the 2024 interior. I mean, you're talking about Tyler Booker. You're talking about Parker Brailsford, Jaden Roberts. You're not going to do much better than that. Now, back to the situational football that we were talking about and making some of these comps and looking at that, the conversion rate for touchdowns for this Alabama offense currently sits at 75%. I think it's 16 trips into the red zone, 12 touchdowns. You know, in 2016, it was nearly 15% less. It was like 61% touchdown conversion rate. I don't care about red zone conversion when it incorporates field goals into it. I had to look entirely at touchdown conversion rate. Third downs, it's pretty close. You know, I think this offense right now is around 47%. 2016, 2017 was, you know, mid-40s-ish. Now, with Tua and Mac, third downs from 2018 to 2020 were just nuts. They were in excess of a 50% conversion rate. But I think when you really factor in the grind of potentially a 14 to 16 game season, we're going to see a lot of these numbers start to even out for the backs and Jalen. But, you know, the best chance this team has of getting where it wants to go is with the ball in Milroe's hands a lot. Now, is that sustainable in terms of his health? That's probably the biggest question I have right now. And it's why having a capable backup in Ty Simpson, it takes on even more importance, and not just a capable backup, but a backup that the current offense is translatable to. Am I saying Ty Simpson is going to be as dynamic of a runner as maybe Jalen Milroe? No, but I don't think it's like universes apart. Ty's an athletic dude. I think he can do a lot of what we're seeing from Jalen Milroe up to this point. And the schedule plays a big part in evening things out too, right? The next couple of weeks, you know, you should be able to make it more about the backs in this Alabama offense. We'll talk more about Vanderbilt a little bit later in the week here on the channel. And by the way, if you haven't subscribed to the channel, we hope you'll take the time right now to hit that subscribe button. If you'll hit that notification bell that's there as well, that would be great. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops here on the channel. We always appreciate a thumbs up, a like here on the show. But we'll talk more about Vanderbilt later in the week. But here are a few items of note about this week's opponent. After limiting Virginia Tech to 75 yards and a season-opening win, the Commodores have given up a combined 373 yards on the ground in their last two games against FBS opponents, those teams being Georgia State and Missouri. And neither Georgia State nor Missouri leaned on their quarterbacks all that much in piling up that number. So when you think about, you know, a couple Saturdays ago, Missouri running back Nate Noel, he carried 24 times for 199 yards. He's an Appalachian State transfer. Before that, Georgia State running back Freddie Brock ran for a season-high 96 yards on 15 carries in the Panthers' upset of the Doors. Now, is there a scenario on Saturday where Vandy loads up on the backs and forces more carries from Milroe? Based on the numbers I just gave you for Georgia State and Missouri backs, sure, there is a possibility of that happening. And after all, you know, you got to also consider, while Milroe leads the way in carries right now for Alabama, not all of those are initially designed to go to him, you know, and taking away the backs in the run game is where that all starts. So really a good bit of his yards and his attempts so far this season, you could make the argument, are directly attributable to the presence of not only Miller and Haynes, but also an interior offensive line that, again, dominates on just about a weekly basis. In fact, you can look for more of that with the complimentary play to just last Saturday night on multiple plays involving Milroe and his legs, but probably none more illustrated than the 4th-and-1 touchdown run by Jalen. Think about it. Georgia loaded the edge and crashed down on the action to jam Miller, right? And what does Milroe do? He ends up keeping, he turns the corner, beats Malachi Starks to the edge, and it goes for a 36-yard touchdown run. So it starts, again, a lot with the presence of these backs and that traditional running back run game. Yeah, we can talk situational football as it relates to 4-minute offense too. I get that. And again, Alabama had those opportunities with 4 minutes to go against Georgia. Had Justice Haynes in the flat, did a great job of making the first guy miss, but still came up a half yard or so short of the line to make. Those are big plays, and those are situations where Alabama in the future has to finish games, because we saw against Georgia, if you don't finish those opportunities, you leave the door open for a offense in Georgia that had a ton of momentum on its side and capitalized on that opportunity. So sure, 4-minute offense, controlling the game late That's a big part of it. And it needs to be something that certainly incorporates the running backs. But if you get Jalen Milroe doing that with his legs, you shouldn't care if Justice Haynes or Jam Miller in the 4-minute offense get all the carries. If they are influencing the defense in a way like they did against Georgia in the SEC championship game last year, remember how Jalen closed that game with his legs? That's all you care about. Close the game out. You don't care if it's Jalen or the backs. But that is something that I'm sure is going to be a point of emphasis. Game management's a part of that too. You know, don't need to snap the football with 20 on the play clock when you got the lead and you're under 4 minutes in the game. But I guess the bigger point in all this, too, is that it's a long season, man. And between injuries and matchups on a week-to-week basis, things are going to happen. Nothing exemplified that more, right, than the end of that aforementioned 2016 season. Alabama lost Bo Scarborough in the national championship game matchup with Clemson. Crimson Tide had been gashing the Tigers pretty good up to that point in the game. And even with Bo out, and a young quarterback struggling to convert third downs in that game, Hurts still gave you the lead late with his legs, and Milroe can do that too. And as the season moves along, I think you're going to see those third down conversion rates go up. Not that Alabama has to play all that many of them, it seems like, but they'll go up too because he seems to be continuing to improve as a passer and developing trust in multiple options. Tight ends now we're seeing more involved against Georgia. So, for now, where the running backs are concerned, it might be more about quality than quantity in terms of statistics anyway, when you're looking at Miller and Haynes. But again, with their ability to create for every position around them, that shouldn't devalue the importance both have on this team in terms of its big picture goals and aspirations. That's going to do it for Ryer on YouTube on a Wednesday. Thanks again for joining us. Again, if you haven't subscribed to our channel, we certainly hope you'll hit that subscribe button. See that notification bell, hit that as well. That way you'll be alerted to all of our content as it drops here on Ryer on YouTube. And if you wouldn't mind a thumbs up, a like, we would greatly appreciate that as well. Travis Ryer, thanking you once again. Until next time, so long, everybody.